All Loves Excelling by John Bunyan, Banner of Truth, first published in 1692, 147 pages. Table of Contents. Part 1. Describing the Inexpressible. Part 2. Desiring the Incomparable. Part 3. Obtaining the Unsurpassable. Part 4. Uses and Counsels. Appendix. The Analysis of the Treatise. Summary. Part 1. Describing the Inexpressible. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Having dealt with election and salvation in Ephesians 1 through 2, Paul now tells his readers about the good that is theirs in Christ, so that they will never be troubled, no matter what they experience. The terms of measurement for God's love, breadth, length, depth, height, show that it goes beyond our ability to comprehend. Its greatness is infinite and unfathomable. Since God is eternal and infinite, His attributes are infinitely greater than we can imagine. His infinite love for us in Christ is for us, and so God Himself is for us, and we have nothing to fear. In all of our trials, the love of God is higher, broader, longer, and deeper than whatever we face, and it is here where we find comfort in any situation. The word breadth shows that God is everywhere and over everything. Our sin spreads and encompasses many things, and enemies may stretch out across the land, but the love of Christ is broader far and covers over all of our experience. Our sin and affliction may be broad, but God's love and power are broader than the sea. The length of God's love proves that He can reach out His hand near and far, and that we are never beyond His reach. Wherever we can be, God is there, and He can remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. This means that there is no sinner so lost, or believer so backslidden, that they are beyond the length of God's arm to reach and redeem. The depth of God's love means that we can never sink too low to fall beyond it. There is no depth of sin or misery that is too deep for the love of God to find us, comfort us, and save us. As with the psalmists, when we are delivered from the depths, we are to praise and worship God for His deliverance. When Israel went to the promised land, they were intimidated by the height of the giants and walls of the cities, but the height of God's love and power is greater. There are things that are lower than us, and things that are higher than us, but Christ is exalted higher than all, and God dwells in the heights of heaven. Heaven is far too high for us to ascend on our own, but in Christ we are lifted up. God transcends all things, and nothing is impossible for Him. He does whatever He pleases. In order for us to appreciate the breadth, length, depth, and height of God's love for us in Christ, there are things that oppose us so that we can see the greater reality of God. Darkness opposes light, and evil opposes good. But heaven and grace triumph over hell and sin. It is only in Christ that we can reach the heavenly country and be welcomed in. Part 2. Desiring the Incomparable. Having mentioned the breadth, length, depth, and height of God's love, Paul prays that believers will be able to comprehend it. By nature, we are too weak and blind to see, but by grace, we can see with spiritual vision. To see God's love, we need to read providence aright. And often, the providences that bring affliction are actually the most precious and useful. This requires discernment, and so discerning the love of God requires grace and prayer. Although this love surpasses our comprehension and cannot be known perfectly, Paul prays that the believers will know it to the fullest extent that saints in this world can comprehend it. There is great benefit in knowing this love, including appreciating the greatness of God in deeper measure and having full confidence as we live in the world that this God is our God. Knowing God's love will evoke in us a holy, reverent fear and awe of His name. The more we see of God, the more we will want Him to be our God and to be near Him always. The more we see of the glory of God, the more we will see and anticipate the surpassing glory of the coming age. Those believers who comprehend little of God's love and glory lack zeal and fail in mortifying sin. Comparing the age to come with the present evil age, believers who comprehend the love of God in Christ will long for heaven and will not live for this passing world. More than simply wanting to escape punishment, they will long to be in the presence and fullness of their Lord. Verse 19 contains a prayer that the believers might know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Christ is in very nature God, and it is astounding that He loves those so far below Him. He is the King, the Head, the Creator. We are sinners, worms, rebels. Human love is weak, fickle, and immoderate, depending on whims and the attractiveness of the object of our desire. The love Christ has for us, however, is infinite and unconditionally found in His heart and nature alone, so that it does not depend on us being lovable. Christ's love cannot decay or change. He loves us not because we deserve it. It is His love that makes us clean and beautiful. His love is proven in His death for us, and in His improving of His death for us now that He is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He died the worst kind of death, and He died to save His enemies. In death, Christ faced agonizing pain and endured the punishment of hell and the Father's wrath. Do not forget that the Son of God chose to become a man. He could not die in His divine nature, but became incarnate, so that He could die for lost sinners. Even before He went to the cross, He was rejected and despised, acquainted with hardships and grief. In His death and suffering, He redeemed and reconciled all of the elect of God. In so doing, Christ destroyed death and all our foes. He also provided for us the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. In His resurrection, He is filled with the Spirit, and in our union with Him, we also partake in the Spirit. Christ is the Lord of all things, and He rules over everything for the sake of the church. Heaven is His throne, and heaven is ours in Him. All of these benefits, and thousands more, come to us because Christ suffered in our place, and He suffered in our place because of His love for us. Let us respond with praise and worship, and let us love Him in return. To say that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge is to say that it is greater than the human mind can conceive. Amazingly, this infinite love of Christ is given to us and is fixed upon us. Not the wisest saint on earth, or the redeemed saints in heaven, or even the angels themselves can comprehend the fullness of the love of Christ. It is incomprehensible because it is infinite and eternal. It has no beginning and will never end. Because His love is infinite, we cannot know the whole of it, nor even the half of it. One of the joys of heaven will be found in continuing to discover more of the love of Christ, but never exhausting it. We will never fully comprehend the infinite love of Christ because we will never fully understand the depths of the odium of our sin. In order to fully understand the depths of the evil and wickedness of all sin, we would have to comprehend the infinite holiness of God. We do not even recognize all of the times when we sin, or how sinfully mixed our good acts are, let alone fully comprehend the nature of our every sin before God. To fully know the love of Christ would be to know the infinite worth of His blood, His intercession, and His glory. Part 3. Obtaining the unsurpassable. In knowing the nature of Christ's love, we will first know it in its nature, which is free, divine, heavenly, everlasting, and incorruptible. There is nothing the devil works harder to destroy in us than this knowledge of the pure love of Christ. One of the great antidotes to his deceptions and attacks is to know our own sin and the pollution of all human righteousness. The one who sees themselves as they really are in their lowness before God is positioned to make the most of the love of Christ. Proper knowledge of the law and the gospel is essential for understanding Christ's love for sinners. We must never remove the gospel from our conscience or subject our consciences to the law apart from Christ. This requires diligence in prayer and study. Knowing the love of Christ takes place in degrees, and no matter how well we comprehend it, there is infinitely more to know. To grow in our knowledge of Christ, let us meditate upon his incarnation, where he joined a human nature, our own nature, with his deity. He loves us so much that he became our representative and is our forerunner in heaven. He has poured out the Spirit upon us and defeated all of our foes. He sympathizes with us and intercedes for us in heaven above. One day Christ will return for us, take us to be with him forever, and consummate our relationship in glory. It is a sobering fact, but filled with food for our souls, that Christ loved us and died for us, but he passed over the fallen angels and did not redeem them. Surely it is amazing that it is we rather than angels who are loved so much that we are called the children of God, and that is what we are. The cost of our redemption is the anguish and death of Christ in our place. Even when saved, we are often hard of heart, slow to learn and quick to wander. We backslide and sin and are slow to recognize it or confess it. Rather than destroy us and damn us, in his love, God disciplines and corrects us like legitimate children. Christ delights to love us more and more, and he delights to love the worst of sinners. Some erroneously think that the love of God, the Creator, is more expansive than the love of Christ, the Mediator. But it is only in knowing Christ's love and receiving him by faith that any can be saved. The greatest saints of old rejoiced in this unfathomable love, and any who think that they can fully comprehend it are deceived about both its magnitude and the magnitude of their sin. The highest knowledge we can attain is to know that this love always surpasses the knowledge we have attained of it. If we know that Christ's love is always more than we know, then we can be assured that no sin, temptation, trial, or woe can outstrip the depths of his love for us. The more we know of Christ's love, the more we will press forward towards glory. Even though we will never fully know the love of Christ, we will still be possessed by it. Christ loves us with the fullest extent of his love. Paul prays that we may know this love so that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Surely, this is a knowledge that produces the choicest fruits and sweetest wine. Part 4, Uses and Counsels. That God loves us so much is proof positive that his heart is filled with good for us. There can be nothing greater to study than this love of God and Christ. People spend their time studying all kinds of lesser things that are far less profitable. Let us do what is best. The reason the love of Christ is so little meditated upon is that few people who say they believe in it actually do. Given the magnitude and sweetness of this love, let us cast ourselves wholly upon it. This love goes beyond our highest imaginings, and it also goes below our lowest and most depressed thoughts and fears of being cast away. Paul says that God can do more than we can ask or think. Think about how much we can think and for how much we can ask. Yet even in this case, God's love is far more abundant than we can know. Do not abuse this love or misunderstand it, thinking that it can provide license for sin and an ungodly life. Far from encouraging spurious faith, God's love should be a true spur to the exercise of real faith. We must work and labor to improve our knowledge of this love, so strive both to find it and to feel it. Do not rest with only hearsay of this love. Search until you know the Spirit has warmed your heart with it. The love of Christ is greater far than all other loves, and he should be loved more than anything else in our lives. Jude tells us to remain in this love, and to do so we need a proper understanding of the doctrines which ground and support it. Knowing this love is so precious and vital that we should keep our evidences of God's calling and saving work in our lives uppermost in our minds. Unbelievers may know that if they repent and put their faith in Christ, they also will experience the breadth, length, height, and depth of God's love and the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.